Dan, roll out.
This following episode contains spoilers for the film or films being discussed. You have been warned. We all remember the big moments in the movies we see. The big set pieces, the famous dialogue, the twists, the naked times. But film is an entity made up of hundreds of little moments that either make them special or relegate them to obscurity. We are here to talk about those moments. Welcome to Movie Microscope.
Kick it, Movie Microscope.
Today's episode is The Losers.
Brownwall, they're shitting their pants off up there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest Movie Microscope. My name is Nick Nunziata, and I'm your gracious host. Alongside me, the string bean loving, string fellow loving, string theory testing, string shoelace tying. Justin White, how's it going, Justin?
Oh, it's good. It's great. How you doing?
Good. We have a special guest here for episode 250. John, welcome back. How you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm doing good. Can't complain.
It's a big one. 250 episodes in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
January 2019 to today.
What did you say? January 2019. Okay. Yeah. That's when we started the Movie Microscope. John, how old were you? In your 20s, early 20s?
Is that consistently one a week?
Yeah. Aside from a few hiccups, yeah. It's almost one a week.
Yeah. I mean, even during the pandemic, we were doing them over Zoom. And,
yep. And you've done a lot with us at this point.
Probably the most prolific special guest.
Yeah. For sure, yeah.
We don't have other special guests anymore.
Just regular guests.
You got it right.
You know? There's a couple weeks there where we did two episodes a week, and then we realized that people didn't really want one episode a week, so we just switched to
actually,
one.
I think it was just the workload. Plus, I mean, now that they're more edited, it's impossible.
We claim that we're going to do every movie. That's how we were trying to get to it, to do two a week.
And six movies come out every week, so
yeah.
It's a good plan.
We'll get there, though.
And we're in perfect health, so no problem. We're going to live forever, I mean. So what's going on? Tell us some stories.
Yeah, what have you been watching lately, John? What have you been liking? Anything good?
Yeah, I mean, so Killers of the Flower Moon, did really enjoy. Definitely want to see it again. I was telling Nick, you know, sometimes with a really good movie, the first time you watch it, you're not 100% sure how to feel about it, but you keep thinking about it, and that's a good example of one I definitely need to revisit. But my wife and I are actually rewatching Veep, which has been an absolute pleasure. Nick and I were talking, just they pack so many jokes into each of those episodes. Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable.
And it's hard to pinpoint who the best is because everybody is so good. Everybody is so good in that show.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's probably the easy choice, but Julie Louis-Dreyfus, I mean, just kills me in that show. She got a lot
of Emmys for that, I think.
Every year it was on, if I'm not mistaken. She won, or certainly was nominated. But yeah, that's the main thing I've been watching lately. I got that AMC Stubbs pass, so I saw Dumb Money, you know, just kind of...
Dumb Money was kind of good. Though.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. I was telling Nick, like, in post Big Short world, I kind of find that it's like, because it's that same sort of message/comedy movie. It's enjoyable. I would definitely recommend seeing it, but unless you have the Stubbs pass, I wouldn't rush out to the theater.
Nick's favorite, Paul Dano in that.
Yeah.
One of Nick's favorite actors.
That voice. This is a prolific Brownwall, I gotta say. So, you said, you know, it takes a couple of times to love a movie. Name a couple of movies that when you saw them, you were immediately in a different place. Like, I remember the screening for Fight Club for me was mind-boggling. And I remember Training Day was another one. When I came out of the theater, I was on cloud nine.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that comes to mind?
For me, it's actually Three Kings. I was in college, and I think there was just the soundtrack and the way it was filmed, and just, I don't know, that movie just hit me a certain way. It was actually one of the only movies I've ever downloaded illegally, just because I was so obsessed with it, I wanted to watch it, like, the next day.
I haven't seen that since DVD.
It's still great. I did watch it a few years ago. It's definitely not at that level for me anymore. I mean, it's good. It's very good.
Does it suffer from Wahlberg?
No, not at all. He's great in it.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Thank you, Brownwall.
It's one of his good, his good performances for sure.
I forget. I know that. I mean, obviously Clooney was on fire.
And yeah, Spike Jones is great.
Right.
Spike Jones is incredible. Yeah. It's worth a revisit.
What about you?
Flubber.
By the way, Nick, so I watched Out of Sight last night. That's another one that hit me really hard when I first saw that.
Magical. And one of the big surprises that wasn't well received, or wasn't a hit and wasn't something that people talk about all the time.
I think it suffered a little bit. It was kind of in that post Pulp Fiction time where, you know, I think people by that, because that was like probably 2 years later, I think there was sort of a little bit of a, people were exhausted with sort of the quirky crime film. But that movie transcends. It's unbelievable. So good.
That was, you know, Clooney being like a Matt, kind of like a huge star, but he wasn't a star yet. He was like putting on like the star wattage.
Yeah, Soderbergh unlocked the best in him. Yeah,
Soderbergh's been making the rounds. He has that new Max show that just came out, Full Circle.
Yeah, I watched it.
I enjoyed it.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I like it.
It's by Ed Solomon wrote it.
Yeah, I'm sort of an apologist for Soderbergh. I love him, all his stuff.
Yeah, I love him. I just thought that the show was a little bit, like, it was fine.
Yeah.
I love him despite a lot of his stuff. Like, he's not the symbol of quality for me, but when he's good or when he's really committed to something, I think he's best with the budget and with stars and with...
Full Circle has it does.
Yeah, but I want him to be on the big stage, because I think when he's left to his own devices, he doesn't cut corners, but he enjoys the craft and trying different things and
does
experimenting, and it's great for him and it's art. But he's proven so good at doing bigger movies that people are going to see.
I think it's his choice, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
He wants to keep the budgets low so he can kind of just experiment and do his thing. But anyway, he was talking about Out of Sight and just that, you know, it was really Clooney, I think, that kind of pulled him in and really convinced. You know, the studio to allow him to direct, and so he was very thankful for that. But to your point, it wasn't like Clooney was a huge draw. I guess he had
Peacemaker and Batman.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it was like, it was a weird movie because it was Elmore Leonard. It was kind of a sexy movie, right?
It had two
incredible, like, you know, like stars, but they weren't stars yet. Even J-Lo, right, at that point wasn't necessarily
that was her
star.
First big acting role.
Was
I think.
It her first big one?
And she's really good in it, by the way.
She had something else before that, I thought.
Yeah,
like, was kind
it was
of
the
big.
Cell.
Made Manhattan.
Oh fuck, was it the Cell?
It was either before or right after, because that was around that same time.
But
Selena
was Selena before that.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that was the big one. You're right.
So
I never saw that.
It's a prequel.
It's just one of those movies that has, and it's a great everything. It's like got great reviews, has great performances. It's a great movie. And it just didn't connect somehow to adult or something.
I will say I think I like Out of Sight more than Pulp Fiction. I know that's like a hot take.
No, I mean, they're both great films. Out of Sight certainly is a great film.
And the marriage of it to Jackie Brown is special, too.
No, that's great.
Fantastic Mr. Fox is another one. I was on Cloud 9 coming out of the theater after seeing
that. That's not necessarily... So John was saying these are movies that, like, he liked Flowers of the Killer Moon, but he still needs to process it. That was your
right.
Point,
well, that's
right?
How when we did our podcast for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I wasn't gaga over it. I liked it, but I wasn't gaga over it. It took multiple viewings for that.
Right. And that happens a lot to me with Wes Anderson movies, which I love, like Bottle Rocket, obviously, but like, when I first saw that, I liked it, but I was like, I don't know what the big fuss is. And then I just thought about it forever, and that ended up becoming one of my favorite movies. But his movies sometimes are like that for me.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely agree.
That's how it was. It took like 6 or 7 viewings of Bandits.
I did really like The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar. I haven't watched the other three yet.
I haven't watched any of that stuff yet.
Well, it is. I mean, so the premise, I suppose, is they're literally reading the book, you know?
Right.
So every piece of, like, the book is spoken out loud. And so, you know, it almost does feel like a stage production. But for what it is, I enjoyed it.
They're 4 short movies, right?
Yes. Yeah, so they're separate on Netflix.
Have you seen them all individually?
No, I just watched the Henry Sugar one.
It's great to see Ralph Fiennes doing that kind of stuff. And there's somebody else who I was surprised how good they fit in that world.
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Probably.
Or Richard Ayoade's in
it. No, it was Cumberbatch.
He's perfect for Anderson,
for sure.
I've been watching some new movies. I watched Cowboy, but I told Nick. What did I watch? Another horror film I watched.
Did you watch the one that's controversial? Or
I watched Bottoms, which was really funny. You might like that movie.
Bottoms, okay. Yeah. I don't know that one.
It's like a...
it's known as Brokeback Mountain.
It's supposed to be a teen comedy, but it's about two lesbians at this high school that start a fight club so they can get next to like the cheerleaders at the school.
Yeah.
But it's really funny, actually. And it's
the girl that did it did something else.
She did Shiva recently. Baby, which is good as well.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. Shiva Baby.
I did see The Equalizer 3, totally off topic.
Did you see
something
that?
New?
I want to.
With Dakota Fanning.
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, I did. It was the end. I remember from Once Upon a Time, but I had no idea that was Dakota Fanning. It just kind of threw me off.
I mean,
there.
It's finally bringing him back, right? Man on Fire.
They reunited the two stars. Yeah, that's why I mentioned her, is because obviously
that's
Denzel's
right.
series, but It's cool that she, because they were cool? So good together in Man of Fire, huh?
They were great together. Great work.
In
you're
Man
proud.
Of Fire?
You're proud of those two together.
No, they were just. It was a good. They
Creasy. Creasy.
That's what I'm talking about. They were great together in that movie.
As I've gotten older, though, I really do enjoy those old man beating the shit out of a bunch of people genre quite a bit. Like, The Equalizers I avoided, and I watched them on HBO or something, like, last year, and was actually shocked how much I enjoyed them.
I was looking at his watch and, like, giving people, like, a time.
Yeah, give him, like, 7 seconds, so, like, some arbitrary amount of
and
time.
And it works every time. They let him touch his watch and, like, do a stopwatch thing, and then he kills everybody, right?
That's what happens? Yeah, there's a, you know, they tie it back to the first two with Dakota Fanning's character, but Walk Among the Tombstones is another one of that genre that I now sort of watch every 6 months.
Who's in it?
Liam Neeson.
You got your boy from The Guest.
Yeah.
Very early role for, Boyd Holbrook?
Boyd Holbrook.
You got,
And Holbrook. The dude from Stranger Things, what's his name? Played Hellboy. David Harbour.
He's great in it.
Yeah, he's great in it.
They keep trying to foist Boyd Holbrook on everybody.
He's good.
He was in that new Justified show.
He's fine. I watched that.
He was great in Narcos, playing Steve Murphy.
City Primeval.
It's a little much. He was a little much in that show.
He was, yeah.
But that show's that. It's always over the top and sort of like...
The only reason they greenlit the Indiana Jones movie is because he was in it.
It's like an unnecessary ad in that movie. Then. Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen, and you don't need anybody else. Yeah. You know?
Oh, Mads Mikkelsen's in the new Indiana? Oh, yeah. No, he's good. I gotta watch it.
It's a solid little movie.
It's actually pretty good. Like, people really hated on it, and then I saw it, and I was like, I like this. And especially the end. Like, the build-up is okay, and then the end is great.
The third act, they go there.
Yeah,
and
it's
surprising that they do. The thing, I thought they marketed it awful. The trailers did nothing for
me. Well, they didn't
me.
Need to market it. They thought they didn't need to market it. They just needed it to be an Indiana Jones movie.
They had bad action scenes, and they played up the action of an old man.
It's a movie that should like sell itself. That's what they thought, you know, I guess.
Well, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull left such a bad taste in people's mouths, I think. I turned my back on it. I'll watch it at some point.
I've never heard anybody criticize that one.
Last Crusade's not great either.
It's great.
It's fun. Get out of here.
I'll rewatch it, but man, I'm not a huge fan of that one.
When's the last time you've seen it? When you were like...
It's been a time.
Yeah.
Probably when Crystal Skull came out. Call that my golden era. When I got to see that.
That movie made so much money. That's the thing, is they were expecting... So Crystal Skull came out, and it was shit, and it made, like, so much money. So they figured, well, another Indiana Jones is going to make the same kind of money, but it did not. They did not have Spielberg at the helm.
That's not why it didn't make money.
I think that might be. I think you need his instincts for a movie like that.
He produced it.
Who did it? Mangold directed it.
Yeah.
I mean, he just...
James Mangold might be the most down-the-middle guy...
Copland.
Besides Ron Howard, you know, just makes like these sort of like good,
it's a pretty good comparison, movies. Actually, John.
Just
look
like
at the
good
zoom.
Movies.
Copland is great, and Rush is great by Ron Howard.
Right, they occasionally hit a home run, but they're utility players.
Mangold did what else has he done?
Like, I mean, like, Girl Interrupted. Let's be honest.
That's a big one. That's
he did Walk the Line.
His first one, yeah.
Walk the
Another
line.
Brown Wall. He did obviously the Logan movie that you love.
I don't love Logan.
It's not good.
I actually like the one right before it better, a little, you know, X or whatever it was called. Weapon X? Is that what it was called?
I never watched any of the Wolverine standalone movies. Not one of them. Mm-hmm. I had no time for them.
What about when Daniel Radcliffe is playing?
What don't you have?
I haven't seen one of those standalone Wolverine movies.
You said you like seeing old people beat up dudes.
Yeah, I don't know. Hugh Jackman just, I'll get around to him. Yeah, just not for me.
He doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Getting a divorce, zoom in. He's on the market, John. Maybe this... We get to know a little bit more about his...
Does that mean he's going to do more musicals? God damn it.
He is kind of a... He likes to traipse the boards, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like he was a beard?
No. Oh. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he likes to get on stage and sing.
He's a song and dance man.
Well, he's going to be hounding now. He's going to be looking for some...
That's what
some,
I'm talking about,
leg between.
Maybe we'll get to see who is... I don't know. He is... Yeah, he... Everybody was always... Remember, that's the big thing is that he was like this... They're like, why is he with this woman, this Australian woman, for such a long time? Divorce that woman. Get out there. Get someone younger. And guess what? Dreams do come true.
On the Movie Microscope, the show we resume in, we put a woodsman on blast. We drink candy and milk. We bring the woods indoors. We get barbaric in the sunrise. Listen to Molly Hatchet while getting laid. Pull a fast one on a botanist. Take a jelly roll to the prom. Watch a movie through a set of destroyed, diseased, cantankerous, cancerous eyes that have been glaucoma to oblivion and ruined. See what makes or breaks. Short Lexi, the listener, so we're talking about living out loud. I'm talking about the scene where Danny DeVito and Holly Hunter try some 69 in the basement. Talk about the little moments. And a ton of them in this one today. Losers. Episode 250, Jason Patrick.
Did you see that?
I love that movie.
Living Out Loud?
Yeah, I love
it. Who directed it?
Richard LeGravenaise,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Wrote and directed it.
That movie killed me because my dad had just died, and Danny DeVito reminded me of my dad in that movie until he's 69 Holly Hunter.
It does not happen.
No, but they go into it.
I mean, I think he lives out loud on her, right? Like, is what happens?
He's the opposite of Frankie and Johnny.
Yeah.
He comes loud. He voice louds.
So why is she all over Danny DeVito in that?
Why do you have to ask?
I mean, it does have a certain appeal. I'm just saying, what's the appeal? Like, give me some background on this movie.
She walks into a barber shop, and both of his legs are up in the air.
I'm listening.
And he is standing on his giant penis. He's pogoing dick in the barber shop.
And when does The Basement come into play?
No, it's a tiny movie. It's a little love story, like two sad people find each other.
John's going to like this. That is Hugh Jackman's wife's favorite movie. So he... ex-wife, I'm sorry. My bad.
You guys haven't seen that one?
No.
I have never seen Living Out Loud. What Richard LaGravenaise...
Fisher King?
He wrote The Fisher King, right?
Yeah.
Jesus. I love that guy.
Did he have something to do with Fearless? Maybe not. I'm thinking of Jeff Bridges all over the place. I know Peter Weir directed it.
But I love Fearless as well. Did you ever see that movie?
Mm-mm.
You would like Fearless. Yeah. You should check it out.
Rosie Perez is in a lot of it.
She's great in it, though.
It's about an airplane crash.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's a great kind of, like, sort of forgotten movie.
Yeah.
By Peter Weir, who's, like, a fantastic
one
director.
Of the best.
Director, yeah.
But,
still around.
He is? Does he still direct, though?
Well, Master Commander, still waiting on that damn sequel.
They were trying to do a whole series of those. I mean,
how'd it work out?
It cost $180 million to make.
It's amazing to me that somebody actually thought that would go.
Yeah.
You know
they also
I mean?
Tried, they thought this would get a sequel as well. You could tell by the ending of The Losers.
It's half a movie.
It's not over yet. There's hope.
Did it completely just
It
bomb?
Fizzled. It fizzled.
Yeah.
It feels like they literally cut half the movie out. Like, it's, they use so many cliches that you can just fill in the gaps, but, like, whole parts of just the movie seem to be missing. Even the hat reference, right? They're, like, later on, they go, like, don't touch my hat. It's like, the hat, he's always had it, but no one's brought the hat up before.
Right.
So it's like, there's, like, no sort of...
I need more info on the hat, yeah.
Yeah, there's some fun moments. We'll back up. But
they did a series of shorts before this came out. One of them was about that. The comic was great. It was fun.
Is it still going or no?
I have no idea. I doubt it. Actually, no, because Jock
illustrator of the comic?
He is a movie concept artist now.
That's obviously just, he goes by Jock.
Jock, yeah.
So when I saw, you said it, I was in my mind thinking like Jacques, but then you see
French.
It written out and it's like J-O-C-K.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a fan.
And then who's the other guy that wrote it?
Andy Diggle, and I think they're doing fine, those guys. Mm-hmm. It's funny, like, it seems like a lot of those comic book guys were using it as a springboard into the film industry, which I know shouldn't be surprising.
Andy Diggle, that's a cute name.
So, but like...
Related to Rob Riggle.
Got all
Rob Riggle,
up.
The host of a competitive mini golf show that you can catch on Hulu.
I guess that's how his career is anything going. To get that, you know, guest house built in the backyard.
My algorithm sent me Pete Davidson's Rob Lowe roast today.
Yeah.
And I rewatched it, and it's one of the best, and Rob Riggle is one of the guys that he targets in it. It's such a good one.
No, Rob Riggle is awesome.
And that's the one where Ann Coulter's there, and Davidson's just, everybody goes off on her, but...
Why is she, are they friends, her and Rob?
I don't know. It was a stunt. I
feel like there was even a reference to them just pulling her in just to make fun of her.
The fact is, she did it surprises
the So is guy. The comic book, so like Jason... Patrick's character in this was like the only one that was consistently funny. Like he had some great lines. So I have to imagine those were pulled from the comic book.
I don't know. Peter Berg's known for that kind of stuff though.
I know, but like the banter between the five guys was pretty awful. Like it was very flat and like I said, cliche, sort of generic. Like your mama jokes and stuff like that. It just felt very kind of like tossed off, like not really thought too hard about.
At watching it this time, it feels like this is a perfect action movie for like a 13-year-old.
Mm.
I want you to back up, talk about who's in this movie and what it's about.
Now, how much would this movie cost to cast today? You think about it, these are A-listers, just about all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, well, aside from Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Idris Elba and Chris Evans. And, So, who's in? Oscar Janeda. I'll start with the best.
That's the guy you said that I didn't recognize.
I've seen him in one other movie. I think he had even less English in that one.
Zoe Saldana is in this.
Yeah, who else?
Chris Evans. We mentioned him earlier, but Chris Evans.
This is pre-Marvel.
Idris Elba.
My boy Holt McElhaney.
Holt McElhaney was actually, him and Jason Patrick, those two were great.
Jason Patrick being the reason that we're doing this movie, because we do a Jason Patrick movie every 50
episodes. I heard that's bad to say now.
Spirit animal? Why?
I heard it's really insulting now. That's like the new thing.
Oh, okay.
Spirit animal.
Who's it insulting to? Animals or spirits?
The Native American culture.
Columbus Short?
You ain't kidding.
And who else? That's the mains, right?
We forget everybody? Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I don't think so.
And this is a movie I was on the set of. I spent a week on the set of The Losers in Puerto Rico and had a great time. We talked about it before. I got to play cards with Patrick and with McElhaney, the casino there.
You're playing blackjack.
They were playing blackjack. I know I was playing some roulette, too. That's where I kind of fell in love with roulette. They were very, very friendly, and they weren't ego-tripping, and they were very laid-back. And they seemed to love each other.
And they got just what they were looking for, a good review from Nick on Shud.com.
I don't think they got it.
I think you did like this movie.
I did. No, actually, I liked it more this time than I liked it last time I saw it.
Yeah, you've watched it too much, I think, at this point. You've watched it a lot.
I found stuff to enjoy.
It's fine.
It's a well-made film. Like, the cinematography, the editing, the action. I mean, the action could be better in certain aspects, but I thought it was like they put a lot of effort into making it look good.
The editor was
working overtime
on fire. Like, they really made the editor do a lot of heavy lifting, and they overdid it in a big way. You'll get epilepsy watching this. The other thing is, whoever, I don't know what the budget was, but whatever the movie music licensing budget was insane. Because they have the soundtrack is littered with songs.
Yeah. The Kills, they're in there twice.
Journey twice.
I'm trying to remember. What other big artists?
There's a lot of needle drops.
Though. Yeah, for sure.
But it's certainly
Black Betty, Ram Jam. That's right.
And there's a lot of slow motion walking towards the camera stuff.
There is
a lot of sexy angles of Zoe Saldana and of everybody in this movie. Really, everybody's pretty.
It's almost like somebody wrote down on little pieces of paper like 150 action movie cliches and threw them in a hat, and they just like grabbed 15 out and constructed a film.
And the funny thing was, I think this beat A-Team to the theaters. And they both failed, which is surprising. Usually one of the two movies in these situations does well.
They came out around the same time.
And A-Team's a great movie.
A-Team's better.
A-Team's a blast, and it is better.
So, okay.
Hey, the problem is John's ripping this movie for cliches, but I've never seen a movie before where they steal a hard drive. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you what, though. I'll give them credit. Yeah. They dodged the big bullet.
What?
We've got company. That didn't happen in this, and that is the one thing that turns me off in a movie more than anything else.
What I loved about this, though, is that they have so... Because it's PG-13, and so is ATM, I imagine, is that they go out of their way to not kill the bad guys in this. Like, there are some deaths for sure. Like, Jason Patrick's the one that's actually killing people in this, but our guys... The good guys, they're shooting tranquilizer darts on them. They're shooting them in their chest.
No, a lot of times they're shooting in the bulletproof vest because you'd see the guys rolling around.
At the end, they have to kill the bad guys because at that point, the bad guys are super bad.
They kill an innocent pilot.
What do you mean at the beginning?
Of the plane that Idris is riding.
That guy was just minding his business, Although he did work for the terrorists.
That's true.
Although, I guess those were the CIA.
He worked for Goliath Incorporated.
Yeah.
So what's the premise? Who's got it?
There's a group of... I guess, are they CIA at this point?
No.
Because I thought that at the beginning they are government affiliated.
I think they're like special forces. An elite like strike force. And the CIA or like, the DOJ would direct their efforts. Now, Jason Patrick was mentioned as being CIA as well as NSA and the Department of Justice. Or Department of Defense, I should say. So who knows? But yeah, so they're basically on a mission at the beginning of the film. The idea is they're going to target some drug dealer who's, more of a drug trafficker, I suppose. So they go and they lock the target down, and the plane's coming to drop, some bombs, and they see 25 children in there. And they try to stop this atrocity from happening, but Max, the bad guy, cuts in on the microphone or on their headsets and says, mission proceeds forward. And so they go in, they stop the kids from being killed.
For a minute.
for a couple minutes. Yeah, and so anyway, they're double-crossed, and they're presumed dead, and now enemies of the state.
Yeah, they were going to get blown up at ground level, but now they get blown up about 100 feet in the air.
Yeah,
so they get to fall even, burning.
I mean, for a kid in Bolivia, though, the chance to ride in a helicopter, that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's probably all downhill from here.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime.
Well, that's right.
No, but it's a thing that messes up the mission. It's a pretty straightforward mission. These guys are a small team. They're pretty confident, though, that they can disrupt what's happening at this drug camp, right? And then that's when, over their mics, that's, like you said, that's when Max, played by Jason Patrick, the spirit animal of this episode, cuts in. And that's when the plans start to change. Like, it throws them off because they're saying, hey, don't bomb. You can't bomb now because there's kids here. And he's like, I don't give a shit, like John was saying. But that's what does escalate everything and make everything change, is he starts to disrupt things.
And they're called the losers because they were supposed to be on that plane. Well, they were called the Losers before that. Mm-hmm. But they were supposed to be on that helicopter, and then when it blows up, they use that explosion to mask their death, and they go under, you know, underground, basically. And
yeah, they throw their dog tags.
The movie is about them getting lured back into it by Zoe Saldana's intelligence operative to go get Max.
Did they ever talk about who she's affiliated with, Zoe Saldana? Like, she just comes out of nowhere,
I think,
right?
At the end of the day, she was just that guy's kid. Yeah. Like, that was her connection. I think she just was a drug dealer's daughter.
Yeah.
The thing I'll say is the tone is way too playful. That's part of the problem is it's so jaunty. And then, of course, you're killing an aircraft full of kids.
Yeah, 25 kids at the beginning of the movie.
And my favorite is, and I wish they hadn't cut the scene, she counted the kids' teeth.
She does say that.
It blew my mind.
Kind of the teeth, yeah.
That's a bad day at the fucking job, you know?
But anyway, so after that, then they're just kind of... are they still in Bolivia? Like, where are they?
Yeah, they were just in Bolivia.
Just in the towns, like, just kind of getting drunk and just wasting time. And they can't get back to the United States, where they all have... Like, Chris Evans' character, who's like the tech guy, he has a niece he cares about, and Columbus Short's wife's about to give birth. And so they do kind of have these stories back home.
Oscar Jada's hat.
Yeah, they don't give him a story. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's just living on the life on the road. He's having a crisis of conscience. He's known as a colonel, but he doesn't claim that name anymore because he
brings it back at the end when he's feeling it, though.
When he's feeling it, yeah.
You know what's funny? Did you notice the misspelling in the movie?
Mm.
When the right after the explosion happens and they're showing news headlines and all that, and one of the chyrons on the fake CNN, it says Führer over it, and they spell Führer with an E at the end. Which is, I don't know, is that...
That's a sharp eye there, Nick.
That's zoomed in.
I hate it.
So this movie starts off with Chris Evans making Dracula have sex with... Or, I'm sorry, Dracula. Godzilla. Yeah. Have sex with, I guess, Mechagodzilla?
Let's hope.
It looked like he had constructed that,
out of
though.
Pencils and shit?
Yeah, it was like unbelievable.
He had made these puppets out of machine pieces.
And it was like you thought he was talking, because they start with his voiceover and it sounds very serious, but then it cuts to, and that's what you're talking about, the tone of this film, is there's all these kind of, like the movie has 25, in the first 5 minutes, 25 children are dead.
Vaporized.
But it has all these moments like this and Chris Evans being
joking. Can you imagine coming back from the bathroom, what did I miss? Well, Godzilla got butt fucked by Mechagodzilla and then a bunch of kids died.
That's just the first 5 minutes.
What do you think about... So Jeffrey Dean Morgan is kind of great in this movie in a way. Like, he certainly holds his own as...
He's a movie star.
As like as the lead in this, but it's a weird choice to have him in there. He couldn't have been the first choice, I imagine. Almost can picture Idris in that role.
Wasn't Idris then, though. I mean, he was to people that followed his work in The Wire and stuff like that.
This was 2010, right?
Yeah. Came out 2010. He could have done this, though, like in his sleep. Like, he plays like his second command here that ends up being a baddie. But
wasn't he Jeffrey Dean from a doctor show, Grey's Anatomy or something? He came out of a big TV show.
He was in probably Grey's Anatomy. He was also in that show that was on forever, Supernatural.
That's right, yeah.
And he was on, obviously, Walking Dead after this. He's a TV guy.
Yeah, but I think what they were trying to do was the right thing, was to cast these... I mean, if you look at it now, these guys are all fucking rock stars.
I'm just saying it's a weird choice. That it couldn't have been their first choice, I imagine. And he's great in it. Don't get me wrong.
Who's the best in it?
Zoe Saldana, probably.
Yeah. No one was good.
God damn.
No one was good.
I don't think so. I mean, Jason Patrick. I mean, he was.
Oh, yeah.
He was having a lot of fun.
Patrick's actually great in this.
Like, stay wet.
He gets a lot of the funny lines. And then they keep him alive at the end because... Like John was saying, he's the only one that makes an impression. So, like, we got to have him back for
We
got
to find out what happened to his hand. You know,
yeah,
it's a big mystery.
Yeah, he's a black glove covering one of his hands.
I think
the whole
tried
time.
To use the Infinity Gauntlet.
They showed it at that one point. It was all burned up and gnarled looking.
It's gross.
Told that
I think
girl
was
to stay
a
wet.
Finger too.
She just goes back in the pool.
So here's what pissed me off.
Okay,
these guys are supposed to be professionals.
Yeah,
this helicopter crashes. And they want to be considered dead. Mm. So they lump all their dog tags together and throw them in one pile. Yeah.
They were all hugging when they
were
playing.
I know.
Like, we found all these very conveniently tied together dog tags at the scene.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There was just a lot of, like low effort is kind of how I would feel about this film.
Well, I mean, Sylvan White wasn't a genre guy. Not that this is a...
How did he get tapped
for
this?
Stomp the Yard.
Seven other directors had to have passed.
He's a big TV guy now. I looked at his credits real quick. He's doing lots of TV stuff.
He died.
Huh?
He died.
How do you know that? I mean,
he's
know
back. He came back as Sylvan the Gray.
At least every episode, someone's dead that isn't.
I know, it's reversed.
Sylvan White.
He was a nice guy. He was out of his depth.
There was another movie we were going to watch with Jason Patrick, Your Friends and Neighbors, and that director's making a lot of television now, too. I looked him up. Yeah, because I was like, what happened to that guy?
That's right. I've seen he's directed like weird stuff.
Weird shit. Billions, like an episode of Billions. So did this guy.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's a smart play.
Neil LaBute, by the way. Can we call it?
Perfect.
Maybe he wasn't that good ever. Like, he did, like, what? One good movie, maybe?
I'm not even sure any of those movies are good, really, right?
And then Nurse Betty, and then that was his biggest, and that's it, right?
Wicker Man was his undoing.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot about Wicker Man.
Those movies did good for independent films. Like, Friends and Neighbors was a big deal when it came out in the independent world.
Company of Men was the one that people
talked about. That's Paul Rudd.
For sure.
Huh?
I interviewed him and Paul Rudd together for something.
They definitely did it. I can't remember what it's called, though.
Oh, really? Did he do a Rudd movie?
Yeah.
Like, The Chateau or some shit? Like,
no, it was, some it movie was after no Nurse Betty. It was after Your Friends. It was. I think it was
before Wicker Man. It was like in that little.
Yeah, there's like two that he did between those.
I mean, he got really all this cachet from In the Company of Men, right? Like, and then he spent it on Your Friends and Neighbors. Like, that was his like victory lap. Then he did Nurse Betty. Everybody's like, I think this is good. And then no one remembers it. And then he's never heard from again.
Nurse Betty was not good.
No, it's not. And guess what? I don't think any of this stuff is good. Maybe not that good.
But he's doing good on TV.
Is he?
He's got hired. He's gotten hired more than once.
John, you looking him up?
I am. I'm trying to figure out this Paul Rudd movie. Well, he did Possession. I forgot about
that
one.
That was a good movie, actually.
What's that?
Gwyneth Paltrow, Aaron Eckhart, and then The Shape of Things.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He did that?
Yep.
Is Aniston in that?
No, I think it was Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, it's Rachel Weisz. Gretchen Mol.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, rewatching the trailer for Your Friends and Neighbors, it all came back. I wouldn't have remembered it had I not seen the trailer, but I remembered every beat of that trailer. Those were in the days, too, where, like, you know, you saw VHS of, like, Pulp Fiction or whatever, and those trailers were, like, at the beginning, you know, they were just there. Yeah, for the rest of your life, you had to watch the same trailers.
Ben Stiller is what ruined, like, he just took me out of that movie. He didn't fit in with the other actors, I don't think.
You know what Ben Stiller movie?
He's probably a highlight of that film.
Nope.
From that era.
Him and Natasha Kinski.
The 90s, like, indie era, Flirting with Disaster.
Great.
So
armpit,
good.
Armpit licking.
That's the...
Oh, it's good. It's great. Yeah, it's good.
But that was because of the other guy. Josh Brolin was great in that.
Stiller's great in Flirting with a Disaster.
He was. But yeah. Josh Brolin, was it Richard Jenkins?
Richard Jenkins and Josh Brolin were the two, gay cops.
There's a lot of people in that. Who else is in that?
Lily Tomlin, Alan Alda.
Yeah, they were pot dealers or something.
Uh-huh. Their parents, yeah.
And yeah, they do acid or something. Call the cops, try to arrest them. It's great.
Trish Arquette.
Patricia Arquette's
on it.
And then Tia Leone.
Yeah, that was her big coming out party, I think.
Yep.
And there's
so we need to get this one into the fucking Weatherman or whatever, Family Man.
We should just start, we'll replace every 50 with Tia Leone instead of Jason Patrick.
What other Tia Leone movies are there? I'm trying to remember now.
So many. Bad Boys.
Bad Boys, that's right.
She was in an action, she was in an action movie too.
Armageddon?
No.
She in Armageddon?
I don't think so. No.
She's in one of those Michael Bay movies.
Has to be, for sure, yeah. She had more of a TV career, old Tia Leone.
Is that the Desperate Housewives?
Madam Secretary.
I think she's still crushing it on TV, actually.
Did I just nail it?
Yeah, she's on that. I like her. I always liked her.
And this is where we start talking about Tia Leone.
We got to.
I mean, this movie is somewhat forgettable, really. Like, I took some notes, and I couldn't even make heads or tails of them at the end of them. I was like, wait, what was I trying to reference?
I will tell you this.
She was in Tower Heist, my bad.
With Ben Stiller.
And Ghost Town.
Ghost Town, wow. Ricky Gervais?
Mm-hmm.
David Duchovny is like, I like your sex, but I need more. Need more. More than just yours.
I know, he's addicted to...
That was his thing, right?
Addicted to sex, Nick.
Yeah.
David Duchovny. Now he's addicted to music, and addicted to being an author.
He's killing it.
And addicted to acting alongside Meg Ryan and her... Second directorial...
Huge failure of a romantic comedy this weekend.
Was it widely released?
Sure.
She got the company
in
there.
I did notice something, though, in the Bolivian scenes. When Zoe Saldana courts Jeffrey Dean Morgan in a bar.
Yes.
And she's walking around dressed like Rose the Hat.
She is a little bit. You're right. From Dr. Sleep.
Yeah. She's got that real bad hat.
So, yeah, you see Saldana enter scene. She's spying on Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who is kind of licking his wounds a little bit, kind of down in the dumps after this, you know, because they no longer have a purpose, their team, and they can't go to their home. And so he ends up bringing her back to his hotel room.
To scromp.
because she's kind of putting the moves on him. She has a fake accent. And then it's soon revealed that she wants something from him, that she's been following him, and they start to fight. But Nick, let me kind of zoom in real quick, John. I don't think you picked up on this. This fight scene is kind of like a sex scene.
It's a little erotic.
Did you pick up? You probably didn't pick up on
it. It's a little erotic. I did notice that.
He's like straight up punching her in the face and the stomach, and they still try to film it like it's a sex scene. But she does end up kind of winning that fight, I think, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
But she is a tiny person, too.
She's very,
she's very small.
She's like the biggest star, like out of all of them here, I guess. Maybe Chris Evans, but like they always talk about her box office. Like
$14 billion.
It's like insane.
$14 billion.
How much do you think Losers contributed to that?
It's Columbiana and Losers, right?
I think if you take out like the gap between box office and budget, it was probably a detractor. They probably had to take away $50 million.
Columbiana short, is that what you're going to say?
No. She fucked Columbiana. What? Movie that nailed Don't Be Afraid of the Dark that weekend.
Did it really?
Fucking smoked it.
That was actually kind of a hit, that movie, correct?
I think 19 its opening weekend.
What movie?
Columbiana.
I don't even remember
action
that.
Film. She did. It came out the same day as Don't Be Afraid and... let's just say it won.
Columbiana.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
It's not bad. Somebody else.
I guess I just skipped the box office that weekend.
Columbiana?
The man, and it's somebody that's sort of a name. Maybe, some guy. A foreign individual.
There's probably a person in it, other person beside her. That's a good zoom, actually.
Okay.
She crushes it, man, Zoe. She's
so good, and she's so.
A legend.
She hisses really good in the Avatar movies.
She's a badass.
But, you know, that's the thing is, so she is on a mission. She wants to use these guys to take down Max. Max has wronged her in the past. He's going to destroy the world, she thinks, and she needs the losers for her plan to take him down. And Max never appears. Like, he's famous for never being around, except at the end when he's there the whole time.
He's in most of the movie,
like,
why is he
at the, they kept talking about how he's never there. I'm like, why is he there at the end? Just so he can get one-upped, I guess.
I think he enjoys torturing people.
He murders kind of innocent people in this. Certainly his assistant he murders.
No, she's the one who deserved it the most.
I don't like that they it's like a punchline that he shoots her in the face. I don't like it. I'm mad about it, actually.
I mean, you fuck around with a parasol, you're going to find out.
Yeah, if you can't, he had one job.
That's the thing. They're trying to do that. It's like, you know, kind of the Smoke and Aces or whatever, you know, ultra violent, but for comedy. But it just, they don't commit because it's PG-13. So I think that's where it just doesn't land.
So.
And the comic book doesn't have as much of that, if I'm not mistaken.
Holt McElhaney plays Jason Patrick's kind of second command, like just like Edris's Jeffrey Dean Morgan's. And, they have a funny relationship. I think Holt's actually great in this movie.
He is.
Because he gets kind of browbeaten the whole time, and he just shrugs it off and takes it, because he's getting paid, I guess. But I do think he did a pretty good job in this.
And I think he also realizes the alternative is not a good thing.
But he underplays like every scene, and he's pretty great in it. And Patrick overplays it. You know, that's the thing. Patrick...
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, he's not known for this kind of thing, so it's interesting seeing him in this role, I guess. He's not known, period, actually, anymore. He's just not known.
God, you're fucking wrong.
I am not wrong.
Julia Roberts, man.
They were together?
He stole the shit out of her.
Oh, from McKiefer?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't last.
And then said, see ya. Yeah.
She's with, who's she with, John?
Lyle Lovett.
I got bad news for you.
That did happen.
I got bad news for you. She's with some dude. I don't fucking know.
I think she's with the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Gary Gygax? Something.
I almost called one of our songs Gary Gygax today. So, yeah, things do escalate. She finally gets the losers to participate in this mission.
She does.
So we get to see the plan, you know. So Pooch...
Speaking of losers participating in a mission tonight, you know what I'm talking about? Right here.
Listeners?
Oh. No, us.
No. Columbus Short is your wheel man and your sky jock.
Yes.
Chris Evans is a nerd, as you mentioned before.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because this is after Not Another Teen Movie. I can't imagine he had done much else before this. That was...
Done some romantic comedies and stuff, probably.
Arguably the most physically capable and buff of the entire group, and he's playing the nerd in this.
Yeah. And the comic relief, for sure.
Yeah, and he's great. His comic timing is so good.
Awful facial hair. Really bad facial hair.
A little like shaggy.
And the dye job wasn't necessary either.
Yeah.
But I love he's game. He is 100%. And he was really good in Not Another Teen Movie, too.
Although I said this was before his Marvel stuff, and that's not true, because he was in the Fantastic Four.
Killed it.
Always forget that he's in that.
Forgot all about that
one. He got a redo on the Marvel stuff.
And somebody else is about to.
Someone else got, what do you mean?
Somebody else is about to get hired into Marvel again.
Michael Chiklis?
Jamie Bell?
Oh, you tell me. As you heard it here first, Chiklis is back.
I forgot he was fucking thing.
I remember how mad, that's the early internet outrage, is when he got cast as the thing.
Who were they wanting, I wonder? I can't remember.
I don't, doesn't matter who they want, because they just know who they hate. They didn't want Chiklis. And then that's the thing is, you always, it's always time to prove them wrong. When the movie comes out, you're like, fuck, man, Chiklis is great in this.
Mm-hmm.
That did not happen.
No, nobody said that. Mm. He had to go back to the commish.
Although they were still reeling off of being wrong about Vinnie Jones's Juggernaut.
Yeah, I forgot how fucking insane that was.
He played Juggernaut. Vinnie Jones.
That's one thing about Vinnie Jones I like, though. He's kind of a chameleon. Never plays it the same way. Kind of unrecognizable.
He has no warm blood. But we do get to see, and you know, we talk about Jason Patrick, and obviously one of our near and dear films is Sleepers. The return of the hot dog stand in a Jason Patrick movie.
It's a hot dog cart in this. Chris Evans is eating a hot dog.
It's
a hot dog,
right?
Huh?
Sabretti hot dogs.
Sabretti, yeah, right. Yeah. Nice, zoom in. What do you think of that, John? You a big hot dog guy?
I don't think I've had a hot dog in 6 or 7 years.
Interested in the conversation.
John is leaning the microphone.
He's so bummed out about the movie. You're trying to get him back in. We're so sorry, man.
The funny thing was, he was jumping up and down and screaming and clapping throughout the whole watch of the movie.
He's laughing. He just got tired out from loving it so much and laughing. We almost did Solar Babies tonight. We're so close. And John admitted, that's another Jason. That's early Jason Patrick. And John admitted to us that when he was a child, the trailer scared him.
Well, and I'm trying to remember, because I watched the trailer and nothing jumped out to me, but I don't, maybe it was on like HBO or Cinemax in the early days and something about it, but I was like probably 3, but I don't know why.
Maybe it's something to do with the way the world changed and that people were desperate for water or something.
I think
maybe
it was that weird ball.
the Gilly or whatever the fuck they call it, the Ghibli.
So then I was like, we shouldn't do this.
Bodhi. Body.
Oh, Bodhi. Yeah.
Bodhi.
We shouldn't make him watch
Bodhi.
Solar Babies, but then we made him watch The Losers. We should have made him watch
Solar Babies. I was the one who eventually called The Losers, because you guys were being non-committal.
I had kind of lost interest in Solar Babies.
My initial reaction was Narc.
Narc would have been actually a good movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
This is fun. This is like light fire. It's light.
This movie's fine. Like, it's a good like Sunday afternoon. You don't want to go outside.
This movie is a watch on an airplane kind of movie for me.
Like, or watch that Operation if you're a Bolivian Child.
That Operation Fortune, you know, or whatever.
That was fun.
I know. Watch it on a plane.
Hartnett was fun in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was great. Perfect to watch it on a plane.
Well, Josh Hartnett mentioned
he was really good.
And then
looked a lot. I mean, Aubrey it's Plaza? Almost unrecognizable.
Is that the one she's in?
Wonderful.
Aubrey Plaza?
Yeah, she's great.
Who else is in that one?
She plays Aubrey Plaza.
I'm going to give you a wild guess.
Hugh Grant?
Let me give you a wild guess is in it.
Yeah.
Fucking Jason Statham.
Vinnie Jones?
You know what I mean. That's Vinnie all he says.
I think Vinnie Jones done.
He's still in there. No, he's still killing
it. He's not in movies people see anymore.
Neither's Jason Patrick.
Pardon my fucking French.
Vinnie Jones is in more movies people see than Jason Patrick is. Because Vinnie Jones, like, didn't, at the beginning of his career, go, I'm just not going to do that. I just don't like to be in movies. Vinnie Jones wants to be in movies.
Vinnie Jones' dad was not a famous playwright.
Now Jason Patrick is Vinnie Jones now. He's like, I'll do anything. Please hire me.
I'll do Mean Machine. Anything. It's remake Longest Yard again.
Jason Patrick would be in anything. Like, you look at his, what's coming for his, he'll be in absolutely anything you want. He plays husband in film. You know, like.
What is the last movie he's done?
He's been in plenty.
It's an impossible question to answer. You can't. You have to look it up. He's been in plenty. That's true. He certainly has been in plenty.
He was in that movie that was like called Becoming or something that I was watching, and it's intriguing.
Becoming?
The Coming?
Becoming. It's a horror movie, and it's very strange.
He's the bad guy, obviously.
No.
He's
no.
A good guy.
He's our lead.
Interesting.
He's skeptical, though, I think. But his line delivery, that there's a scene where they're on like a radio telescope or whatever, and it's that line delivery saves the movie for me.
So when you look up Jason Patrick on IMDb, what do you think the three highlighted films that he's known for are?
Lost Boys.
Of course.
Speed
of course.
2.
Yep.
Sleepers.
Fucking The Losers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Losers, or I would say The Alamo, I guess, is another big. Not that was that, not, that movie wasn't big.
Holy shit, you're right. He was credited as his husband, Until Death Do Us Part.
Oh, you saw that?
I looked it up. Sounded like a joke, but it was true.
That movie Mother, they're called Man.
Well, to be fair, everybody's the bride or the best man or groomsman. That's just what people are called in this film.
Don't have to go that hard on my joke. A Let's edit that out.
I'm just trying to stand up for Jason Patrick. You know, Nick over here is just getting hammered.
I love him so much.
There's no reason to stand up for him. He did it to himself.
Was he a dick?
He was just, like, pretentious about it, like, about his career a little bit.
He turned down a lot of work, because he was about the material.
Did he have, like, some really good opportunities he turned down, like, that went on
commercial opportunities, probably, and he was like, you know, I just don't want to be known as that. I want to be known as an actor first.
And then,
like,
flash forward, he's on a motorcycle sliding under a fucking car in Speed 2.
Well, that's the thing. Then he took a one for them so he can do a one for me, which is Your Friends and Neighbors. And then he could. After that, it was like career suicide. Like, it's,
well, when that your one for you has a scene where you talk about your best sex experience was fucking a boy.
He was a boy when it happened.
True.
In his defense, yeah, to be but there.
I don't know if I ever even saw Your Friends and Neighbors.
Yeah, so episode 200, 300.
It's a pretty gnarly scene. They're in the sauna and they're talking about their best sexual experience, and he shares with them, I guess, a bullying gone wrong, where I guess he whipped his dick out and fucked the kid.
Jesus.
But it was his best sexual experience.
That's a little butte for you. I can't say it.
And you said that he took all of his money and helped finance that movie.
Jason Patrick took his money from Speed 2 and financed Your Friends and Neighbors to give himself a meaty role. He had, like, the meaty role in that, right? Like, the bad guy role, the Aaron Eckhart role in the company.
Yeah, Aaron Eckhart flipped and kind of was the straight man.
Speaking of people who have only made the right choices.
Eckhart, another actor that never really achieved success, and then he is in so much shit. Like, he's just constantly working.
But do you think, though, like, I think sometimes those guys, you know, is that better than, you know, having this, you know, think about the movie star for two or three movies and then they vanish. Like, that guy's a working actor. He's in a ton of stuff. And he shows up in things that are great, you know?
I think that he probably would want to be in stuff that people saw. But, you know, I don't know. Like, who knows? Like, he's an I. Frankenstein.
He's a beautiful man. They're both beautiful men.
The Thank You for Smoking. Like, he's had, like, those.
He's had great, Nick Naylor in this.
He's had some great roles, and he's done great. He was great in Aaron Brockovich.
Great in Suspect Zero.
Aaron Brockovich.
But perfect he's movie. Also, it's few and far between with him, and he's also in the news for being a complete dick lately. So
no, I mean, first of all, the producers sided with him in that. So
of course they did.
Chloe Grace may have been the ass there. Speaking of people from
Equalizer. It's not Chloe Grace, it's Abigail Breslin.
I mean, they're the same person.
She also, like,
maybe that was the problem. He kept calling her Chloe the whole fucking time.
This is the thing about that. And I don't know too much about it, but she didn't complain. She didn't take it. She just complained to, she kept it confidential. The producer's the one that are suing her.
Because she fucked up.
She was insane. But
we thought we hired Chloe Grace.
We are stunned. You know that she doesn't want to be, she didn't want to work with Eckhart. She said Eckhart was too aggressive or something. And I was like, well.
So what are some of the key little moments that worked for you? You like the anal stuff, Lion?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like that little sequence was okay, right? Like, they're in the thing and he's, you know, got his guns and it's just his fingers and his buddy's on the building across the street there. That motherfucker would just materialize in places.
He's on the,
like, he was like on the 87th floor of some skyscraper with, like, a perfect sight line on fucking.
He's the sniper. He's the sniper of the group. What was his name?
Oscar Janeta.
Oscar Janeta. He's a.
Don't fucking touch his hat.
By the way,
yeah.
Dead ringer for Anthony Kiedis.
He does look like Kiedis a little bit. I love it. So the end of this
put
movie.
Put a bad mustache on him.
Yeah. The bad guys shoot Columbus short in both his legs. And they make jokes about it for the rest of the film.
But then he's running up buildings later on.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So Chris Evans gets shot in the arm and is, like, about half dead. And then later that afternoon, he's literally carrying the other guy.
Yep.
He got shot in both his legs. And then later on, that guy's scaling a building. He gets winged, though.
Columbus Short gets it right in the meat of both legs.
Yeah.
He looks like he gets kneecapped.
No, it was in the thigh.
He's making jokes.
What were they calling him? Because his name was Hooch,
can you walk?
Right?
They called him Legless Pooch.
Legless Pooch.
His nickname was Pooch because he likes dogs, I guess.
Is that what it was? We'll get to it.
That's a zoom in.
They're trying to make that dog the Millennium Falcon in this movie.
I mean, let's just say it. Let's just spoil it. It is. But anyway, I'm sorry. We're kind of all over the place. They do get. The thing about the movie is, like John was saying, it's confusing because it doesn't necessarily know kind of what it wants to do. So. Mm-hmm. As they're trying to take down Max, there's infighting in the group. Idris is kind of mad at his commander for, you know, fucking up their personal lives, basically, with this. Then they all kind of distrust Zoe Saldana, who is sleeping with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. But at one point, it all comes to a head, and they find out that she is the daughter of the drug dealer, of course, that Jeffrey Dean Morgan killed at the beginning of the film. And they try to kill, they try to kill her so much. And then, like, 10 minutes later, they're teaming up with her again.
I know. It's yeah.
We've all been there.
And she had just... Well, no, she scrumps a couple of times with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
So, but the drug dealer, right, had, like, okay, so we recognize that Max, for some reason, wanted the drug dealer dead. Zoe Saldana's pissed off at Max for that reason, right, because her father ended up dead.
Uh-huh.
But what does that have to do with the fucking MacGuffin at the end? The fucking, what do they call it? So, Sonic Deatomizer?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, this
Dematerializer.
What's the cute name they give them?
Sonic Dematerializer.
They call it a snook.
Snook. The weapons of mass destruction in this that Jason Patrick is working with these Indian scientists to, I guess they developed it and he's going to buy them and he's using violence to get a deal. But what they do, how do they work? Like, it's like a sci-fi type weapon.
I have a question. Was that CGI when they tested?
They said it was a dematerializer. So I guess it dematerializes
the damage of a nuclear blast
thing.
Without any of the ecological.
Right. And it swallows up like a landmass.
It was like an island that vanishes.
Yeah.
Which is stupid because that shit goes all the way down to the bottom of the ocean.
And then the design of the weapon.
It acted like it was a fucking float or something. It's like knocked it over.
The design of the weapons is very comic booky. They look like the gigantic, like, see-through eggs.
Were those in the comic books?
Don't remember. Yeah.
You don't remember that detail?
I mean, we're talking. Oh, it was a lifetime ago.
The movie does, like, cut away to, like, every once in a while they'll have, like, you know, the gang on screen and they cut to the cartoon comic book versions of them.
Mm, yeah.
What do you think of that little trick?
I mean, you know, at least they were trying something. Like, maybe they could have put some attention in the screenplay, though.
I love it at the end they do the actual character drawings rather than the actor versions of them. Because during the beginning half of the movie, styled after the actors. At the end, it's the actual ones from the comic. Like when you watch a movie about, like, the Holocaust, and at the end they show the real people. That's what this is.
Not that I hope for this, but I sort of have to suspect, like, a lot of this film ended up on the cutting room floor. Like, exposition they just got rid of, keep it an hour and a half, like, jam it out. To your point, Nick, hopefully get the 13-year-old boys in there.
It was, I mean, he's right. The director originally turned in a 6-hour cut. Yeah. So they cut it down.
Well, Criterion, it's happening.
Yeah, he said, I want to do 3.5 hours like Scorsese got to do. Release my cut.
He's going to do a show on Netflix where they split it into 4 parts.
Release the Sylvian White cut.
So when they're buying the snooks from those Indian guys, remember Listen he walks up and this little what dude, he's like, Jason Patrick's like, gee, you're short.
So you standing
like,
in
how
a
much
hole?
Do you weigh?
Yeah, he works
how much do you weigh?
Short. And Jason, he touches a guy's nose at the cutest.
So just a little bump on the nose.
He does do that. Jason Patrick gets away with some stuff in this, and he does a like kind of a racist Indian accent in this twice.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And the first
time,
you
say racist, I say accurate.
The first time I was like, okay, well, he's the bad guy. I guess you give him one. He goes back to it.
Yeah.
That's a weird choice.
He seemed to be the only one. Well, I guess Chris Evans too. That was like actually relishing in the comedy of the thing. The other guys almost seemed to play it straight in a sense.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, I think they had comedic beats to play.
Mm.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan has to play a very like soulful and kind of sad figure, even though he is Zoe Saldana keeps trying to jump on his body the whole movie.
Throughout the movie, she'll just knock on his door and come in and they'll bang. There's like,
What's funny is she has amazing costume changes throughout this movie.
So does Chris Evans.
But you know who doesn't? Morgan is in that same exact gear the entire
fucking movie. Yeah, he's wearing the suit. That's from the comics, they said, I think.
Well, yeah.
You gotta keep the suit from the comics.
He just has like 17 of those
losers
suits.
Fans demand it.
And Idris Elba, we don't get a lot of what makes him great in this. I mean, he's very effective, and he's sexy, and he's amazing, but he doesn't get to do really much in terms of...
Well, that's the thing. He's a plot propeller.
That whole middle like action sequence in Miami, him and Jeffrey are just like leaning on a car the whole time, high-fiving each other.
They're kind of the same character at first. Like they're kind of competing, you know, battling like a charisma. Like they're doing the same kind of thing at the beginning. They're both like these like handsome dudes that are in charge, and then at least at the end they differentiate it with Elba's like just a like a, you know, he's a bad guy, he joins the bad guys.
Yeah.
And then the whole time he's you like him, so you're like, I hope he's not really a bad guy. And
well, then there
when
was
he comes
a
back
moment
into the fold.
Yeah, there was a moment where I was being really generous with the writers, and I was like, oh, this is all part of their like master plan to get Max, that he's going to pretend to flip, then they're going to act
I think it's
like,
better that he didn't.
Yeah.
Although they killed him dumb.
But even that, I didn't buy. Like, the whole no motivation here made sense.
At the end, he's in a plane that blows up, and he jumps away from the explosion as the plane's blowing up, and he jumps to the back of the plane, which doesn't get blown up. So I'm wondering, are they keeping him for the sequel, too?
No, the whole plane blows up.
The back of it was fine. It's good.
Maybe they saved it.
Maybe he was burning up in all that cash, though, because he was surrounded by that $1 billion.
He's hiding under all the cash.
I don't think you could fit $1 billion on a private plane like that. I bet it would be so much. Like,
it's probably
it
smaller than you think.
$1 billion in cash?
Well, it filled the whole shipping container,
right?
They had
like stacks of $10,000 bills in there.
Oh.
That's what the...
Can I break this at Publix?
I can't believe you're a $1 billion truther. I don't think it can fit on the private plane.
The one thing is, I mean, Max has proven he's trustworthy. That's why Idris betrays his best friends. Because Max has never...
At some point, you kind of have to agree with Elba a little bit, right? Like, he's tired. So he just gives up.
I think he was hating because Zoe wasn't coming after him, hopping on his dick.
He was hating.
Yeah, maybe.
In the comic, the villain's name was HBO.
Yeah, it's a classier name. It has a lot more weight to it. Can you imagine how idiotic you must be to make that decision? Like, hey, let's take all this 40 years of brand equity and shit on it. Call it Cinemax.
Hey, it worked. It worked for Twitter. Yeah, Musk crushing it. Everybody can't stop saying X.
What do you do when you like? Is it a shitter when you post on there now? Like,
X is fucking badass. I love the letter X. So cool.
Has there been a case of that actually working other than banks, which always change names?
I mean, I think people do. I think names do generally. You can change them and they get accepted. I think it does happen.
When do you think they're going to? Because, like, if you read the New York Times, they'll say X, formerly known as Twitter. Like, what point do you think they're going
to
drop
it? I think they're doing it to piss him off. I think they'll keep doing it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't call it X. And a lot of the people that on Empire, they will refuse. They refuse to say X. It's dumb.
I wish they just stopped messing with the coolest cat in town. I love that guy. Elon Musk. What a great guy. What a cool guy.
Yeah. He seems like he's
forever
really,
cool.
Seems like he's really well adjusted.
Sounds like something you use to catch a rancor.
What do you think Elon Musk is doing right now?
Tweeting.
Probably.
Yeah.
He's not tweeting.
What is it with these billionaires when they like get on Twitter and they lose their fucking minds?
It's a good question. Every once in a while, maybe someone would come up with like a science fiction story.
Here's the truth.
You make $1 billion and you are quiet.
No, here's the thing.
Yeah.
All these guys, here's the thing. They don't have friends. If you have friends, they'll check you. They'll keep you from being a fucking idiot. None of those guys have a right, like a person who's their guy.
Yeah.
Who they don't travel in a circle of friends who are going to keep you from being a douche. These are all loners.
Yeah.
And so they're in their own head, and they're up in the middle of the night, and they have everything but what they want. Mm-hmm. And so they go and they say this crazy shit.
So some guy I met on this trip I was on, kind of in the Hollywood game, and he actually knows Elon Musk, and he was telling me that it is basically that, but the reality, though, is that it's like all these South African dudes that he grew up with that he has hanging around him, kind of on the dole, I suppose, that just tell him everything he does is fucking amazing.
I'm sure. Like, high-fiving him and shit. For sure, yeah.
And so a lot of his, like, I guess more industry or, like, business friends are like, you need to get these fucking dipshits out of your life, and he's not listening. That's what the guy was telling me. You know who I'm talking about.
It sucks looking like the multiplicity version of Mads, right? Right? He looks like the seventh generation bad copy of Mads.
What is with his torso? Have you seen that photo with the shirt off?
It looks like some fucking.
I mean, that question, I can't.
It actually looks like they modeled the truck after him, his body. They just like, he was laying down, and some engineer was like, the Cybertruck was like, perfect.
I mean, if we're going to talk about torso, let's just talk about Thomas Hayden Church a while.
I did just
read
I read this. I didn't even click in the article because it pissed me off so much. But apparently, they had Joe Rogan shoot a crossbow at the Cybertruck at the recent demo.
Is it Rogan? Jesus.
Literally, that's how they're marketing this thing. Yeah. Joe Rogan shooting a crossbow at it. You were pretty hot on the Cybertruck when they first showed
it. I thought it was awesome looking.
Yeah.
I still think it's cool looking. I just didn't realize there was a whole world of shit.
I think he's a troll that got rich, and then everything he does is like troll. He's a troll. Like, the Cybertruck's a troll, right? Like,
the Dogecoin stuff, all that bullshit. Yeah.
Like, the flamethrower. Did he sell flamethrowers? Like, it just seems like he just does shit to troll people.
Yeah. It's cool, though, that he's basically controlling our space program and one day maybe the internet with Starlink. Yeah.
Change it to
Starlink's
space.
Starlink's pretty badass.
Change it to space Twitter.
I watched it one night.
I saw a deployment of Starlink. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I thought we were being invaded for a quick minute. Yeah,
it was amazing to
Did
watch.
Did you see it where they're all shooting ago, in the straight line?
It was amazing.
Yeah, it's really
amazing.
Cool. Have you ever seen it, Justin?
No.
That's too bad.
Speaking of shooting in the straight line, Cougar, at the end of this movie, just trying to get back to the losers.
I like the fact that
they were avoiding talking about the losers.
Him and Chris Evans roll up on two mopeds with these two girls.
Yeah.
Chris Evans gets off. You think, oh, he scored, and then they both kiss Janaeta, which is cute.
Yeah, that's,
yeah, that's a fun. That's kind of
learned
funny
every gag. Line phonetically for this movie.
Is that what they said?
There's no way that he knows.
He didn't have lines. Like, he was barely, he's silent.
Was on the set, it was a nod. That was the interview. Mm-hmm. You know.
He's fun in it. Like, he's like,
he looks great. He looks like a badass.
He's got a fun character. It is interesting, though, that they give Evans and Columbus Short backstories, kind of like, but they don't give him one. He doesn't have, like.
He really likes his hat. That's the one. That's
and he was a part of this group, apparently, that is guarding the thing, you know, that.
Guarding what thing?
At the end, they go to that the docks, and the people that are the security there, they say they're like Cougar, except not with his fuzzy personality or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. So what else, like, at the end here? Nick, what do you like? What's your?
I like all of Jason Patrick's stuff. I enjoy some of the banter, actually. I like, it's a beautiful movie. It's really, I mean, there's some cool photography in it and some, you know, they have fun with it. But it is, it's a diet soda. It doesn't have anything going on.
Right.
That's why I think, you know, but if you're a kid and this is the first action movie you see, I could see how it would blow you away.
It's kind of harmless, in a weird way. Yeah. It's kind of harmless, yeah. I get it, yeah, and it's flashy.
But do you think that happened? Do you think there was a kid somewhere that watched this movie that was blown away?
Probably not. What do you think about the poker scene where they're using knives and guns as the betting? It's cute.
So it's the very beginning. They're playing Blind Man's Bluff.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And
is that what that is?
Yeah, yeah, they're sticking cards in their foreheads.
I thought Blind Man's Bluff was something different.
I think that's what they say it is in the movie.
No, it's Liar's Poker.
No, Liar's Poker is different. That was with dice.
What did Liar's they play in Glorious Bastards?
They don't do anything of the sort in the Glorious
they
Bastards.
They do the thing where they put the famous
Yeah, that's where they're doing, like, it's like the guess the word.
They are putting something on their foreheads.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not wrong about that. That's the funniest scene with the King Kong. That is the funniest thing.
That's an incredible scene. King Kong thing?
That's the word. That's the, he has to guess the German.
Oh, that is King Kong.
The whole scene is incredible. That's an incredible scene.
Yeah. It really is an incredible scene. We talk about that
almost as good as the Blind Man's Bluff scene in The Losers, where they're, but they don't get to finish that game, but later Patrick does play Go Fish.
That is fucking funny.
That's funny.
That actually was funny.
Playing
shit.
And
he looks at the guy's car. He's like, "Do you even know how this game works?" Or says
he's
something
playing
like
with the Indian guys. He's antagonized the whole movie and killing, and he's sitting there. And then, yeah, he rips the guy for not knowing how to play Go Fish. But that's kind of funny that
they had to kill some time. So yeah, they play some Go Fish.
Usually, you see, yeah, if they're gonna play cards in movies, usually it's gonna be poker, right? Mm-hmm. But man, they did. They said, "No, we'll bring it back to Go Fish."
I think the like betting the weapons thing was just another example of like why I didn't like this movie.
It's
like,
lowest common denominator.
Yeah, it's just dumb. Yeah, just like, and it was like, oh yeah, like, oh, here's some personality or character, just all cheap.
I think part of it too is I love all those actors so much.
I know that was what was almost bothering me because, and I'm making it sound like I hate it. It was like kind of like a nothing movie, but it could have been really good. I think it could have been a lot of fun. I just think the writing was really miserable, and maybe not the guy who directed Stomp the Yard to put together a.
I never saw Stomp the Yard. It was like, that must have been kind of good though. Got him a big bigger gig.
I suspect it didn't cost a lot of money. It made a lot of money.
Maybe what was that movie that they had shine? Two or three sequels to that was similar from around that same time?
Save the Best Dance or something.
Well, It wasn't.
I know you're talking about. But I can't remember.
It wasn't You Got Served.
With Julia, what's her name?
No, that's Save the Last Dance.
No, but it was like a.
But you're right.
Street dancing or street some sort of thing. There was a movie. They made like three or four of them.
Is it Channing Tatum was in them?
Maybe.
The beginning with his ex-wife. What is it called?
How do we not know this?
But he was in some of them. Street.
Street Stomp.
Something Street.
Channing Street.
It's his early stuff. Like, he's kind of known for it before he's known for his kind of comedy.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I feel like I know what you're talking about, but it's not ringing a bell.
But it's from that same era, and I think it's probably why he got this amazing job.
It's amazing.
Step Up.
Step Up to the Streets.
Yeah, that's it. Step Up. So Stomp the Yard, Step Up, that's why, yeah. You know who hated Stomp the Yard? James Gray.
Oh, James Gray.
Damn, Step Up to the Streets.
I mean, he died.
He'll do that.
He
came back as James White.
So he does die at the box office every time, that poor guy.
The guy hasn't had a hit, has he?
I don't think so.
I like him.
Of course.
What, we got...
Ad Astra in this.
He did that. That's a good movie.
Also a huge. Just crushed the box office.
Pitt picked it, man. But he did The Yards.
He did?
He
That's
did.
Your joke there.
He did the one with the cops.
He did do
times
that.
20 with Mark Wahlberg. What was it? Like the, what's the one I like? Pride and Glory, maybe?
Did he do that?
Or no, he did one
he
like
did
that.
He did the other one
with Joaquin?
Yeah, he did the other one.
He made, and he did some stuff with Charlize, James Gray.
Two something. Fuck, I can't remember any of the titles.
Two something.
Gwyneth Paltrow, Joaquin.
Two something?
I can't, something like there's two of the title. You're supposed to be the one that fills in the names. You know all this stuff.
Two something.
He also did the Staten Island movie. Fuck, man.
There's Pride and Glory. There's the there's all those cop, like, gritty cop
things. He didn't
things.
Do Pride and Glory.
No, but there's one like that he did that I love.
Yeah, yeah.
We Belong to the Night, maybe?
That's the one.
That's
two
a great
lovers,
movie.
That's what
two
you're
lovers.
Thinking of.
Two Lovers. Two Lovers. Yeah, Astra. I got half of it right.
Yeah.
I think there was three lovers in that movie, though. I think the title misled.
We Own the Night. That's right. Little Odessa.
That's a great movie.
James Gray is like lighting it up on fire. He did do the movie that came out last year with your boy from Succession.
Time.
Armageddon
yeah.
Time.
Yeah.
That's the one that crushed.
Which boy from Succession?
Jeremy Strong.
Yeah, he plays the dad. Yeah, I watched that on a plane too. That's a good plane movie.
He's got two upcoming, and I think the producers of that film were like, how can we lose money? Let's just hire this guy. Fuck money. I hate money. Let's do it. Let's do this.
I think Armageddon Time was like a little autobiographical.
It was?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said, you know what?
Senior
his
Trump
movies don't make shit. Let's find out more about his life. Let's greenlight the autobiographical movie. It's supposed to be good, actually, I have to say it. Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, I watched it.
You liked it?
Yeah, I watched it on a plane. It was great.
Anne Hathaway?
There's like a whole group of theater. Of
I'm giving
filmmakers.
Him shit, but I like his movies.
There's a whole group of filmmakers that are like that, like Derek C. in France. Those guys who are like, they make solid movies, never succeed.
No, that's not true. La La Land was huge. And
that's not Derek C. in France.
Who was that guy?
That's Damien Chazelle.
This is the guy that did Blue Valentine, and he did Place Beyond the Pines.
That's right. The Place Beyond the Pines. That's right.
Baby right there.
What else did he do?
Do I need to mention more? He did the best. I just mentioned the two.
Blue Mountain, but he did some else.
Yeah, he's still killing it. But he's a guy that keeps killing it, never succeeds.
I mean, define killing
but
it.
But who else? Like James Graham.
But what is the definition of succeed, though? Because the guy still gets to make movies.
A blue-collar filmmaker who makes their kind of movies.
Yeah.
Actually, what's her face? Todd Haynes is like that. And so is, who's the dude that Julianne Moore is married to? That guy's like that big God. Time. That's him in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And of course, Henry Jaglom. Can't forget the best.
Ed Burns.
But the guy, yeah, the one she's married to is known for that.
Yeah. He's not known, though. That's the thing. He's not known for anything. He's known that she married him. Like, as it's Julianne Moore's husband, more than his films, right? Derek C. in France. He's out there doing it, guys.
And I love that. That Place Beyond the Pines is
really good.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. He did direct Light Between the Oceans.
Is that the sequel to Place Beyond the Pines?
He's got two upcoming. Dude, Wolfman.
What?
Fuck this shit. I'm going to make a monster movie, finally. Get a little Derek C. in France touch. Make it plummet.
You did that, I know this much is true, that HBO miniseries. Okay. He directed all episodes of that with Mark Ruffalo.
Is that the one where he's the twins?
Mm-hmm.
That opening scene killed me. I turned it off.
That guy did the whole thing. Blue Valentine, your boy.
Where he cuts himself in the fucking thing. That's so gross.
What happened?
Starts off and Mark Ruffalo cuts his arm in the library and he's just like sawing it away. It's so, icky.
He does all right.
It's gross.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling in the Wolfman movie. You think he's going to be playing the Wolfman?
Oh, that's Derek C. and Friends doing it. Oh, boy. That's a surefire winner.
Maybe it's just not going to happen, but it's on IMDb.
If Gosling wants to make a Wolfman movie with Derek C. and Friends, they will make that movie.
Pre-production.
The Fall Guy trailer to me was...
It's too long, but I like
it. Too much. You see it?
The Fall Guy? No, I didn't.
Trailer, it's who directed somebody big?
The guy that did Deadpool.
Right. The guy that did... It's the guy that did John Wick, right?
John Wick. But didn't he do Deadpool? Did he do Deadpool too?
No, Tim whatever did the first Deadpool, and then Leach or whatever
he did
this.
Yeah, one, sure.
David Leach.
Yeah,
he's David Leach. It looks good, but they show so much in the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I read about this. I haven't seen the trailer yet, though.
Did you ever watch the original show,
The Fall Guy?
Yeah, the
mm-hmm.
Majors.
Mm-mm. It's a remake of that.
It's an old 80s TV show.
It's inspired by it. Looks like it's not even connected to it really. Other than he's a stunt man.
You're trying to tell me they're not trying to capitalize on Lee Majors?
Is he a cameo?
Did not beat Farrah Fawcett, though. I got to the bottom of that, remember.
That was...
Spoke out of line there. Anyway, the movie does indeed end, unfortunately. And we're forced to confront the credits.
Does it end, though? Because the bad guy gets away. Like,
perfect.
They don't even explain what happens to all those weapons. First of all, like, one of them's activated, by the way. They just duct tape the the fucking trigger or whatever.
Has to get away at the end of this movie.
And then they go to a soccer game, and that's the end of it.
They also go to a wedding.
A hospital.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, and for some reason, instead of just walking in the front door, they
scale
the building.
Well, they want to make a cute scene where they're going on a mission, but it's actually to get his baby's face.
Yeah. Bad idea. Let's get him in and out, guys. Let's cut these extra scenes.
So I will jump ahead a little bit here, but the remember they're at the soccer game, the referee.
Yeah.
Did you catch her name?
No.
Chrissy Korn. That's the actress's name.
That's her.
Yeah, and that's Chrissy Korn.
So Chrissy Korn. I have that. That's the first one I wrote, too.
Yeah, you had to write down Chrissy Korn.
She was stiff in the shit. So I'm going to pull one from beyond.
She was the chest bump queen.
She sucked.
It's not an actress, bro.
M.H. I got M.H. Anybody get M.H.?
I don't.
I think I have it, but I can't read my handwriting. His last name, Hom?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have that.
You got Monty Hom in this.
That sounds like a game show host, Nick.
Really pushed it. Or a guitarist. What you got, John? Initials.
A.A.
That's where I was after watching this movie. I don't have it. Do you, Just?
I don't have an A.A.
Aaron Askew.
Aaron Askew.
Oh, man.
That's kind of a cool name. Desmond's sister. Brother?
Oh, Desmond. Lewis. There's a lot of Askews in Hollywood.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
What you got?
No, you keep... I got J.G., which is a child's review of the Friday the 13th series. J.G. Jason Gross. What do you think?
I think that was a stretch.
Got a good porn name here, L.L.
Larry Long.
Larry Long. His old dick.
Old Larry Long dick.
Kind of a cute one, kind of like a cute porn name, Larry Long. It's just like you didn't think about it very long, you know?
No. His name was Larry, and he had a
Larry
long dick.
I guess. That's what I mean.
You know who Susie Essman would call him? La.
Hey, La.
John.
CC.
Music Factory. I don't have it.
I don't have a CC.
It's not that great. Conan Castro Jr.
I mean, that's pretty great.
Conan Castro?
Conan Castro.
I got J.Y.
I don't have that
pretty
one.
Pretty good one.
Mm-mm.
Jay Gowler.
They're talking about Jason Patrick and your friends and neighbors like to jump young.
How about BT?
Don't have it.
Barrent Tort.
Barrent?
Yeah, it was Barrent.
That's a bad name. Oh, yeah, I have it too. I thought it was Bernard.
Well, maybe my handwriting's just that bad.
What about PT?
PT?
Yeah.
The Guillermo's
I don't have PT.
You guys, you Peter Tothpal?
Mm-mm. MK.
Ultra, great movie. No, I don't have it.
Marcel Kern.
I do like that last name. Joanna's cousin. Yeah, Joanna's cousin, huh?
Joey's, too.
Are they related?
Kern's Joanna, and, Kern, no one's Joey? Plural, one's not.
Damn it, Kerns. Fuck. I got RM. This might happen in The Fall Guy.
What? I don't have it.
RM, Ryan Moon.
Because
they're going for laughs in that. You never know.
They have, obviously one of the lesser-known Transformers. DG.
I don't have that one.
Dan Gearhart.
Transformer first name with a first name Dan in this.
Tell me you wouldn't love it.
Optimus Prime and Dan have come. Dan, roll out. They fired a missile at Dan.
Everybody confused why they don't call him Gearhart. Oh, damn.
Got a legendary actor that showed up in the credits.
Oh, yeah?
DS? Uh-uh. Daniel Stern.
Was he working behind the scenes on this one?
Yeah.
He gave it a little Daniel Stern
That guy
polish.
Looks like he's got an ugly penis. Don't you think?
Daniel Stern. I've thought about it before, but now that makes less sense.
How about H.M.?
I don't have it.
Henning Molfanter?
Jeez, you should have led with that. Holy shit.
It's the magician.
Doug Henning in this.
MB, I got last one
Bill
here.
Bradley?
MB, I don't have MB.
Matt Biffa.
Cute.
That is cute. Also Transformer.
Look, you've been asked to get a tattoo on your person from the losers. What would you put on yourself?
Mine would be a half-exploded helicopter full of children.
So you get another one? You have two of them matched?
Yeah.
And the great thing is he carries pictures of that so he could get you know, photorealism. Here's a picture of an exploding helicopter with children for reference.
But it's got to be halfway through exploding. Yeah. Like maybe an arm or something's flying out one of the windows.
There's none of that. The scene
there are no body parts.
Was nothing. Fine. It's almost like they got transported before the explosion because they just saw like there was a teddy bear on the ground.
I wonder if you did explode a helicopter full of 25 children, maybe I assume two adults
or people.
How much just like meat?
They should have just had the guy standing in for 12 minutes with just stuff drizzling.
I mean, it probably would have been rained down. Yeah, it would have rained down on them.
Yeah. Here's this kid's
mine is like, you know, epiglottis. People get
hit in the head with like a child-sized shoe.
Yeah. You get Mandarin on their arms and people are trying to...
Ben Kingsley?
You know, like just trying to you know, and sometimes, you know, it's like they make fun of Americans that'll get like this Chinese, right, you know, symbols on their arm because it doesn't stand for what they want it to stand for. Yeah. So I would get that, but my mind would translate to a man with a voice is a man with a throat.
Yeah, that's such a bad line.
Which is a line in this movie, and I would, of course, get that in Chinese. What do you think?
It's pretty good.
Am I wrapped around my arm?
I guess the implication being he's going to tear the throat out.
Yes, I think that was. There was a third part.
He never gets
to
finish it, yeah.
I couldn't get to the third part.
The big climax to this movie, for everybody listening who hasn't seen it, just to be clear, is the bad guy throws a remote control off of a crane. The good guy dives for it, catches it. The end.
Doesn't catch it. He finds it underwater.
Well, he finds his way.
I just want to be sure you know what you're talking about.
8 seconds.
And then somehow, and then Jason Patrick's
he just
a
takes a bus ride home and gets accosted by a couple of...
It's pretty great.
Gets his wash away. Yeah.
A couple dudes.
Yeah, that's a great ending. You're right, John. It's fantastic.
So, you know, some people have WWJD. Like, that's like one of their motifs.
Sure. What would Jason do?
I've got one that's similar. It's JPWD.
Jason Patrick would
and it's
would
his, do. And Dan? It's Jason Patrick's whole dick. I have a tattoo of his whole dick on my arm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does it have the balls or just the dick?
Another one?
It's a whole dick. It's just the whole dick.
Second one?
The beginning of it and the end of it, like all of it.
So does it just start from nowhere? Just like a dick?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Actually, I'll have it next to my dick going way past.
That'd be great. Get a tattoo of a dick on your inner thigh next to your dick.
A better version.
Just to clarify, it's just... Is it just a picture of Jason Patrick?
Come on, man.
You know ain't
nice. It's a spirit on
it. It's offensive.
Look, man, credits are rolled, movie's over, but lo and behold, there's a stinger at the end.
There was a stinger at the end.
There's two stingers, yeah. There's another one. Mine is the doctor...
we get two stingers in this movie.
The doctor goes to Columbus Short and takes him aside and says, I found 666 in a kid's head. What do you want me to do? Last line is ice him.
Oh.
About you, John?
I'm going to pass to Justin. I didn't really come
please,
up with a good
I
one
either.
I struggled.
So they do have two extra scenes already. Mm-hmm. Which is the what Nick was just riffing on, which is the hospital infiltration. Like, Nick, I think John maybe says, why didn't he just walk in the front door?
Yeah, just take the elevator.
But he repels or goes up the side of the building and sneaks in and presents himself to his wife who thinks he's dead.
She takes it very well.
She's fine. And
months, apparently, right? I mean, long enough for her to get pregnant, not get pregnant, but I guess find out she's pregnant.
I think they've been missing for 6 months or something. And then another thing is the second one is they're at this little girl's soccer game. And it's Chris Evans' niece, and they're all the losers that are watching. Of course, they'd all go.
Yeah, of course. They're friends.
They're wanted.
It's in Nebraska, I think. Remember, there was mentioned that they were in Nebraska. So they're all losers in Nebraska. My third scene would be the doctor pulls Columbus Short aside and says,
Actually, I didn't think about that, but I got mine now.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I was just thinking about it because you're right. They're still wanted. So the stinger is they're captured by the CIA and taken to some black site and tortured to death.
They are the losers.
End of this movie.
You did lose.
It's true.
And then, Justin's like, he goes to see his wife and pushes past. She's like, I'd like you to meet my new husband.
Mine gets good. Like, so the sniper doesn't get a backstory. Like, he doesn't get anything to come home to. Yeah. He doesn't get this thing that he cares about, like, that he's wanting to get back into society for. He, I don't know, but he just spends some time with him at, like, he goes to see the movie. At the end, like, you know, the third one is by himself in the theater enjoying the credits of the losers come up.
Wow,
a little meta. I got absolutely nothing, obviously.
Look, you've been asked to have a sequel to The Losers. Oh, God. Financing has hit escrow's ass. What are you doing?
A sequel to this one, huh? Mm-hmm. John took my idea of just killing everybody.
I think I would actually complete the story. That would be maybe one move that would make sense. Actually resolve the plot of the film before it ends.
Well, you're mad because they didn't deal with Jason Patrick. He did get foiled, though.
They didn't really deal with him. They didn't discuss what happened to the bombs. They're still wanted, apparently.
But they did disrupt his plan. They did save the day. The bombs are now secured, right, you think?
And I guess Zoe has replaced Elba on their team.
Yes.
That's true. I wonder what the dynamics of that are with them boning all the time, though.
It's like Fleetwood
There's
Mac.
There's some chemistry between Elba and Jeffrey Dean Morgan a little bit. So did anybody go? Anybody have an idea for a sequel yet?
I think I just did.
What was yours?
Like completing the film, like actually telling a full story.
Mine is Jeffrey Dean Morgan wakes everybody up in the middle of the night and says, we got another mission. Gathers them in the warehouse. They're all like groggy. And he's like, I need to get baptized.
Well, he jumped in the ocean.
Of course. It's a movie.
That's it.
That's what your misadventure? Where?
They got to take him down the river or something.
Don't get down the river.
That's the sequel.
It's that. They've taken him down to offer his body up. He accidentally touches Janeta's hat when he's going to the river and he shoots him to death.
So my sequel, it starts off with Idris Elba's burned. He's like soot on his face. His clothes are they're singed. Mm. And he's sneaking up with his gigantic knife, which he's known to have. He's a knife guy.
Yeah, he had two knives.
He's a knife guy, and he's sneaking up to Jeffrey Dean Morgan's condo that he's sharing now with Zoe Saldana. And he's got his knife in his teeth, and he's angry. And he opens, gets in, unlocks the door, sneaks up to the bedroom, puts a knife to Jeffrey Dean Morgan's throat, and then they high five. He's like, and they hug. Like, perfect plan. Idris Elba, the whole time, it was a triple cross.
A triple cross.
And he goes, now, the perfect thing is Max still thinks I'm on his side. And so that's the thing. So that's all about Idris getting back. And now Holt McElhaney is not alive anymore. He gets killed, sadly, at the end of this movie. So Idris can step up. He's the number inside two. Dude.
But first, get me to the burn ward, you know?
And then Max, so he goes over to Max, goes, I'm back, man. And then Max high-fives him. He's like, does Morgan think, you think you're triple cross? He's like, yeah, it's the quadruple cross. It just really is a bad guy.
Oh, my God. It's like a Mobius loop, right?
Then he meets Jeffrey Morgan's character at a restaurant after this meeting. They high-five.
Okay.
It's a Cinco cross.
What do you think? I'll keep going. Obviously got no idea, but that's not bad. Proud of that one. Go ahead. Next.
Look, you've been tasked with creating a business associated with The Losers. What you going to do?
I would do some grief counseling for the parents of the deceased children.
That's your business for the deceased?
Well, 25 parents. I could probably, extract some cash from them.
A bunch of impoverished people. I'm sure you make a good
good point. Shit, I didn't think about that.
They were willing to give their kids up to go to this death camp.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, it's a good idea. Maybe you could still have that service and offer it to people and use The Losers to help.
So, yeah, so it's supposed to be inspired by it. So you can do a business that was grief counselors for the parents of the people that allowed their children to be in the movie, maybe. Mm.
Yeah,
that's probably just as maybe traumatic for them to be associated with this movie.
Akiva Goldsman was one of the exec producers of this. Has that guy ever attached his name to anything of quality?
Yeah, sure.
What? Name it.
Batman Forever?
Losers.
You're right. He's sort of like one of those hates.
Like A Beautiful Mind or something. I think he wrote
maybe
that.
That's a big one, yeah. But
that movie sucks.
I think he has a bad batting average. Sucks. But I think
Is Gone Girl. It's a C plus. Is Gone Baby Gone your desktop, your wallpaper, Justin?
No.
What? Hey, that'd be great. What
you got the Gone Baby Gone poster as your wallpaper?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about, John?
I think I'd have to leave if that was. That'd be very upsetting.
No, I'd high five you and be thrilled.
Man, I wish
What are you doing?
How do you spell his name?
A-K-I-V-A Goldsman. Is he just a producer? He's a writer.
Yes, he is. He's a writer. He started off as a screenwriter.
Apparently, he's a great guy. I've heard on interviews, right? People are like, oh, he's the best, but I don't know about making films. Find a new line of work.
He produces a lot of stuff. He wrote I Am Legend, I think.
Classic.
I mean, people like it.
I don't.
He did write the movie you said you
you said you really thought it was underrated and you couldn't stop talking about Rings.
So I don't. I think I watched I Am Legend once, but in the book, I did read the book. Like, the
book's great.
You know, it's found out that, like, you know, he's the bad guy at the end. But they didn't do that in the movie.
It's a shame. They never do it.
It's a shame because that was going to be Tim Curry's autobiography.
But they never. That's the thing. It's the that makes the book great, and they never do it.
It's just the it's the best part.
At the end, the vampires all fear him. Like he's the monster. This
motherfucker keeps coming around and killing.
And then
all
they're
all
like, and then in the Will Smith version, the reason they're like, well. Since we're not going to do that, how come this movie's called I Am Legend? Oh, that's right. He's listening to Bob Marley's greatest hits CD.
Yeah, that's right.
He wrote garbage. A bunch of Batman movies.
Garbage.
Yeah, he's a screenwriter.
He's a garbage dump of a...
he's got some good movies under his belt.
Yeah, I mean, Blind Squirrel, right?
He did Lost in Space.
Who was the annoying in that?
Da Vinci Code?
So many annoying ones in that. Was it Matt LeBlanc?
Who? Yeah, he was in that, yeah. He did Transformers story by the last night. You said you kept talking about how good that was, right? The story's the best part, you said.
I bet he's got a huge fucking house.
Oh, you think?
Jokes
that
don't guarantee it.
Mine is quick. Mine's a video game. It's a soccer video game. It's a kiddie soccer video game. You play the kids, and you know
you control Victor Salva,
like the ghosts of the
outside
kids?
The fence.
No, the kids in the soccer, you know, like the whatever league what they're watching at the end. But the losers are always they're at every game in the audience, and you don't get to control them, but you get to watch their antics, like you know in the stands. Right. But you actually are playing the kids, like you're playing you're playing the soccer. It's a soccer game, you know, like. Where you're playing soccer, but the losers are in the audience.
Wow.
You got like a Jeffrey D. Morgan.
Yeah, I know who's there.
And then whenever you win a game, you know, you can...
take one piece of clothing off that referee.
You can power up the audience. You can customize the audience a little bit. Okay. You can make them, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Nice.
What's your business idea, Nick?
Tit tattoos.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just... what I do is a tattoo parlor, and it only does tits.
It's not a bad idea.
Thank you.
I like how you differentiate yourself by not only just doing tattoos on breasts only, but then also they all have to have somehow tie back to the losers.
It's just something like Roke was here, you know, like in cursive. Look, you're in the movie. You've been added to the running time of the losers. What shape does your performance take?
I'll let Justin go first.
I'm Jason. Patrick's plan, his second plan, you know, after the nuclear item that devastates without leaving a mark. In case that doesn't go through, I'm a giant, and I'm in a warehouse, and he's going to set me free to. I'm like 16 feet tall. And I'm going to fuck shit up in the city. You know, he'll let me out there and start kicking ass. I'm just like, I got a huge forehead. Actually, it's kind of a sad story. I've got a pituitary issue, and I'm going to die young because of it.
You thought of more backstory into your character than the writers did for any of the characters.
Yeah, I'm just like I'm a man in my like a mansion, like multi-million dollar mansion. I'm in a silk robe, smoking a cigar, drinking brandy, kicking back.
The just actress?
Like, no, just kicking back, just loving life. You know, polished floors. You know, whenever I say anything, it just echoes in my huge house, and then I just go to my computer, just look another order from the losers for more trank darts. Crack my knuckles.
And then you go buy Twitter. I do like their little explosives and shit. Those cars blow the fuck up. It's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's just
very
like,
realistic.
It is, in a weird way, it is like the A-Team. Remember the A-Team show? Mm-hmm. They couldn't really kill people, so they were always like blowing things up and people were flying through the air and just getting knocked out.
Getting their bell rung.
Somebody should do that, like the G.I. Joe thing where parachutes, whenever something blows up, people fly out in parachutes all the time.
Which I always liked. Appreciated it, you know? Guilt-free mayhem, you know? But they do kill people at the end. They do. The bad guys are bad enough by the end that they can kill them.
Yeah. Like when I watch the John Wick movies, I like to try to think about all the henchmen's like loved ones back home. He's just shooting them straight in the forehead, you know, one after the other.
That wears me out.
It does. He shoots them more than once in the forehead a lot of times.
Double
in the
taps
face.
Them. Yeah.
It does wear me out. That's why I like the other violence in the John Wick movies more than the gunplay.
I think I've only watched the first one. I haven't seen.
They're all fine. Or,
Well, then you're missing out because that happens a lot. And the second one?
More headshots or other kind
they
of
escalate.
Fire?
There's a great knife scene in the third one.
Yeah.
They seem like they kind of more the same, right?
I mean, they're all, I mean, it'll wear you out.
I
think they kind of love it. They get more and more. There's more and more of,
I feel like the fourth one's like 3 hours long too, isn't it?
I didn't
it
see the fourth one. Yeah. You know, they certainly there's get more budget to like.
There's a do staircase more cool scene stuff that goes on forever in that movie.
Donnie Yen, though, right?
Then they try to make a show about that hotel too.
They did.
Or they did.
It's come and gone.
Yeah, Mel Gibson stars. So just run. Try to Mel try Gibson to watch was it tonight.
He's a star.
Are you fucking for
he's
real?
In it. I don't think he's the star.
Huh.
He's the star of the show.
Was he in John Wick movies?
No.
This is a prequel way before. Somebody plays young Ian McShane.
Keanu's not going to be in a Mel Gibson movie.
Look, man. We got to figure out the Millennium Falcon in this movie. I mean, is it the dog? The little dog?
So they have a bobblehead dog that's sitting on the dash of Pooch's various vehicles that he commandeers in this movie.
Yeah, it makes it everywhere.
It was on his wife's uterus at one point.
They show it a lot, and it does nothing. I mean, it just... I guess it's supposed to give him some...
It's his personality.
Yeah, it's supposed to give you some... make him likable, you're right.
Yeah, just some color. Yeah.
Can't tell if John enjoyed the movie.
It just, to me, it was frustrating because it could have been a lot of fun.
Oh, I think it could have been.
I think it was a great cast. Like, it could have been a lot of fun. It's just lazy writing.
It's so frustrating. Yeah. No, but you're right. I mean, it could have been good.
Jason Patrick, his scenes were awesome. More of him. But
he was fun, yeah. He was
colorful. I don't think they could have stood to have much more of him in it, though. I thought it might have been too much if they put a little bit more of him in there.
Just whoever was writing his lines should have written the other shit. Like, the other guy's stuff just was not funny to me.
You think they just brought a...
There's that scene where they're like, the Patrick Whisperer and they
punch up the script, give him the story. Maybe he thought up his own lines. You never know. It probably is the same.
Peter Berg's funny. I think he's probably responsible.
Did Peter Berg write the movie?
Yeah,
he was one of the co-writers.
Can't zoom in that hard.
he wrote it and was going to direct it, and didn't. I'm sure he did another.
I wonder if he wanted
movie.
To play the for himself play the Holt McElhaney role, because he would have been good in that role.
I'm sad that he's not in more stuff. He looks a little weird these days.
Well, yeah, I really liked Mindhunter. I'm sad they're not doing more of that. That shit was fantastic.
That's David Fincher, but does Peter
that's
Berg?
Holt McElhaney, but not Peter Berg. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Holt.
Holt's great.
He's so great
Peter
in
Berg,
that show.
He's come a long way since The Great White Hype. Remember that
I
movie?
I love that. Butt whipping!
So he's a direct Mark Wahlberg movies now.
He did a good one. He
does
a great
all
one.
Those jingoistic, like, patriotic films, you know?
They're good, though. They're all good. Yeah, like, Lone Survivor's good. Fine. Patriots Day is one of my favorites.
Not Peter Berg, but The Covenant was a lot of fun.
He did that? Oh, yeah.
Not Peter Berg, but
he was great in Collateral in a small role.
And it's funny, it's literally Guy Ritchie's The Covenant. It's like, of all the movies, you slap your name big time on that one, huh? It's interesting, right?
Not Swept Away.
Madonna.
So with the dog, I guess the dog, yeah, all right. I was going to say epilepsy, but the dog might work.
Yeah, it's the dog.
So look, Yarn Allen, you've been trapped through all these many years gathering debris. Now it's time to take something from the losers. Would you bring it?
Probably bring one of those snooks, just in case shit got dire. I could just melt
take
my
yourself
island.
Out.
Well, just like they did them, shoot, just fucking melt dematerialize the whole damn thing.
Take a snook. Why not? Just
wrap it up.
Then on CNN the next day, furor as Sharon Stone's vagina dissolves into the sea. Well, I've obviously got a bunch of baby teeth.
Of course. That's what you're taking, bro.
Yeah.
I might take those Godzilla toys from the beginning.
That were fucking at the beginning?
The erotic Godzilla toys at the beginning and take them. Now, you said that one of them was Godzilla, but you think he made the other one, it looked like.
They're both made.
They were both made. Yeah.
Oh, really?
100%. I thought they might not be Godzilla. They're dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be Godzilla and
I think he said Godzilla.
Oh. He does say Godzilla, I think. Okay. Yeah. Has Godzilla ever... Is this the first time that Godzilla's...
Fucked something on the movie?
I mean, to put it lightly,
There is a baby Godzilla in the series.
Well, they have maybe a chance with that new show they're
Has
doing.
Has Godzilla ever had sex on screen, is my question, John.
I hope so.
Nick, you know this more than anybody. You watch a lot of the Godzilla films.
Godzilla was a girl in most of the movies, but I
In most of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it reproduces sexually.
Same question. Does Godzilla ever have sex in the movie?
Remember the Roland Emmerich one where they just shit the babies off the side of their backs or whatever? That was weird.
In Godzilla vs. Hedorah, Godzilla does ass and ends up getting laid in an alley, you know? Gets dosed and wakes up, but someone's sucking his cock.
He said most of the time Godzilla was a girl.
Yeah, most. Not all.